going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at @CodyMallory. Delighted to be joined by my two co-hosts, Joe Farrow, on Twitter, that's at @TheJoeFarrow, and Anthony Dittmar, on Twitter, that is at @AnthonyDittmar_. Guys, the Brooklyn Nets own the city of New York, is what I want to start with.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That was one hell of a win. The Knicks choked another giant lead.
Did you see Kevin Durant's tweet?
Yeah, KD tweet.
The Knicks choked.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Durant tweeted, Nets fans were loud in the bark. I mean, the garden tonight.
Yeah. And then he just put out, way to lead us tonight, 2-4. So, shame 13 couldn't lead, but that's all right.
Oh man, bro, what a freaking game. Like, that's the third game in, I believe, the last 7 days where the Nets blew a 20-point lead at one point in the game. No Durant, no Simmons, no Irving, no Joe Harris, no problem for the Brooklyn Nets these last two games.
Yeah,
I don't know, that's crazy. Like,
all right, you guys want to do some math real quick?
I like math.
You like math? Okay. So, NBA salary cap, right? We are at $112 million per year, correct? So,
correct.
Ben Simmons' salary is $29 million. Add that to Joe Harris's $16 million. What do we get?
$29 plus $16, $45.
Okay. Add Kyrie's 33.
Oh boy, you're gonna make me really do some math. 78.
Okay, now add Kevin Durant's 40.
So that's 78 plus 40. Shouldn't be this hard for me. 118. I think we're over the number.
We are over the number just with those four guys.
Just with those four guys who aren't playing.
And we're still able to grab wins. Look at this team, man. It's gutsy, to say the least, these guys. And I'm proud of them, man. They fight. They don't quit. Well, now at least they don't quit, all of them. But we're over the cap with just those four guys. Nobody else would be able to pull out the wins that we're able to pull out without their top four paid players. It's unreal. It's awesome to see. These guys just keep on fighting and Cam Thomas just keeps flourishing game after game. I believe now he has the most 20-point games by a rookie.
He probably does. I feel like it's been like his last five or six, right? He's been over 20 every game.
Yeah, and like before that, like just alone this month, I think he had the most of any this year. So we have to start pushing Cam Thomas Rookie of the Month propaganda.
For sure. I want to come out, come clean. I would like to apologize to everyone in the Nets fan base. I went live on this podcast and said the Nets should trade Cam Thomas if they got a piece that helped them win. And I am glad Sean Marks knows more about basketball than I do. And Cam Thomas is still on the Brooklyn Nets because the piece they need to win is Cam Thomas. He is a star. You can see it. His ability to get to his spots on the floor are superstar, and like it's amazing. He gets wherever he wants. The Nets were attacked it all night. Fourth quarter, what did they do? Put Mitchell Robinson, pick and roll. Cam got the switch. He got to his spots. Robinson's a long defender. Sure, he's slow, but he still closed out. And Cam Thomas was 7 of 10 for 16 points in the fourth. I also want to give some props to Steve Nash. He takes a lot of heat, but it's very clear he has not lost this locker room. They were down 28 in the first half, 18 in the fourth quarter, and they came back and won. And I was very critical at one point on his decision to not go back to Andre Drummond down the stretch in the fourth. And he made the right decision because when Cam Thomas got going, what did the Knicks do? As anyone would expect, they blitzed him. What did Cam Thomas do? He passed the ball to Aldridge, who knocked down a mid-range jump shot. If Drummond was in the game, obviously Drummond's not shooting that jump shot, and you don't know what would happen. So, I mean, it all worked out. It was a great game. And I just wanted to give some props to Steve Nash for that adjustment because I was critical, and I know there were several Nets fans on Twitter who were very critical of it because Drummond was just eating rebounds. He had 18 in, like, what felt like 2 minutes. It was absurd.
Yeah, he finished the game with 19. I know that. But another point that I want to point out real quick. In this game, the Nets scoring went up every single quarter. Started with 18, then to 26, to 29, and they scored 38 in the fourth to clinch the comeback win. And it's almost identical going backwards because the Knicks dropped 38 in the first, 27 in the second, 22 in the third, and only put up 19 points in the fourth. And the Nets just dominated that fourth quarter all around, and it was an insane comeback. 28 points, man. That's right. This is right up there with that Kings game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, bro. Like, I also want to give a lot of credit to James Johnson. I think people are far too critical of him. I think he's a good basketball player. Not only was he effective offensively, he was pretty much the point guard tonight. And when they kind of went on that run in the third into the fourth, obviously Cam took over the fourth, but James Johnson getting into the paint in the third quarter was how the Nets were scoring. He finished with 14 points, 5 assists, 7 boards. He was a plus 16, and not only was his numbers good, he was getting in Julius Randle's mouth, and he was not afraid to go toe-to-toe with him. Randle finished 10 of 22, and I believe he was 7 of 10 to start the game, Randle was. Yeah. So James Johnson completely took him out of the game, and when they didn't have R.J. Barrett, the Knicks just couldn't get offense going. We saw it by them scoring 22 and then 19 in the second half, like Joe said. And a lot of that was James Johnson taking Julius Randle out of the basketball game.
Yeah, that was definitely a huge part of it. He was most of their offense for the entire night, and it was just like he just simmered down more and more as the game progressed, and the Nets just played better and better defense, and they turned it around offensively throughout the game. As I said, they just kept scoring more and more each quarter. So it was just an insane win. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Another crazy stat. The Nets won the game by 5, right? 111-106. They were down, as I mentioned, 28 at one point in the first half, 18 in the fourth. Yet Seth Curry was a plus 27. Make it make sense. And he played 36 minutes. How is that even possible?
That just means Seth Curry comes out and we start and we don't know how to play basketball. That's really what it is. That's what it seems like.
Bro, like that's one of the most impressive things I feel like I have seen in a box score in a long time. And I've seen a lot of box scores.
Yeah, that definitely is wild. I don't know.
That's insane.
I don't know how that.
It's not like he played like 10 minutes and they went on a big run. He played 36 minutes. He played the second most minutes on the Nets. Like, that's just insane to me.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I was working the Rutgers game and I just watched those fourth quarter highlights. That was insane. Cam Thomas, like, that dagger, holy crap. Him and Aldridge had like a back and forth the whole entire fourth quarter.
Yes. LaMarcus had an absolutely huge game. He finished with 18 points and 10 rebounds. So both of our centers tonight put up double doubles. And Cam Thomas, what'd they say, 29 feet it was? Damn near the half court logo. It was just an insane shot. And he just said in his post game that shot definitely ranks up with his two summer league shots.
Wow. From summer league MVP to like a key contributor and potential like elite team in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's what kind of wild. It's like the kind of like turnaround he's asked in his rookie year, considering like everyone that's been down this year. I think he's a lock to be in the rotation in the playoffs. What do you guys think?
He's coming close to it. He really is.
Yeah, I mean, he might be that sixth man that I wanted Goran Dragic to be. Forget him. It might be Cam. That kind of spark off the bench, play that Lou Will role. Because, I mean, he's not breaking the starting lineup, let's be honest. But just because, I mean, he's amazing. And like, but I could see him being a Lou Will for the next 2 years for the Nets, come in, average 16 off the bench in 25 minutes.
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, he could definitely be a big second unit piece, especially in the playoffs. If some of the guys are struggling offensively, he could come in and just be that quick spark plug. That's a perfect role for him. And that's probably what he's going to be for the first couple years of his career. But like, just the scoring is going to increase because he's going to keep developing and he's going to keep getting better, which is just wild to think about. His scoring prowess already at his age is absurd. And I can't wait to see what he ends up being down the line.
Yeah. I just saw from Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. Steve Nash said on the Cam Thomas dogger, that is exactly how I drew it up. Which is just, I mean, Steve Nash being Steve Nash. I think he's a pretty funny guy, but bro, like, I bet some money on the Nets when I saw that they were -4.5. So I went Nets money line. And obviously it didn't start off so well. But when we were at halftime, like, the odds just like were insane. I don't remember what they were exactly. So I threw some more money on the Nets because I just had this feeling. I was like, you know what, they're gonna come back. And sure enough, so I made out tonight. Got a win, and I got a nice little payday out of it as well. Thank you, Cam Thomas.
that's smart money. Scared money don't make money, you know.
That's what I'm saying, man. I was like, I'm already committed. I might as well just go all in now.
Yeah. So I want to bring up one quick thing. Our two centers obviously played very well tonight. LaMarcus had 18 points and 10 rebounds, and then Drummond had 11 points and 19 rebounds. And Claxton got a DNP two games in a row. What do we think about that?
He's like out of the rotation, I think. I think there's not going to be a need for him unless like – you really need him for like switching abilities, but I feel like the Drummond Aldridge combo is kind of like the best combination you can go in terms of like the net centers. Like, I don't see him having a role unless there's injuries.
Yeah, that's what's unfortunate. I mean, like Claxton, we all have seen what he can do, but it's just like, damn, man, like he was giving us some really, really good minutes just a couple games ago, and now it's like he got hurt. He rehabbed his way back. He wasn't out for long, but got himself back. And then now he's active, but he hasn't played for two straight games. It looks more and more likely that the Nets could deal him once the season is over, if they're able to retain Drummond.
Did you see the rumors that, well, first let me answer your question. I honestly wish Nash kind of threw him in. There was a point in that second quarter, I believe it was, when the Nets were getting absolutely demolished in pick and roll, and I think they were targeting Drummond pretty hard in it. And I mean, Drummond was great tonight, like I said before, but that's kind of where Claxton would fit in, I feel like, but obviously Nash decided against it. It ended up working. They locked him down the second half. As for Claxton and being traded, did you guys see that they were in discussions with the Raptors on trading Claxton for, I think it was a couple first-round picks. Maybe it was one, but they were heavily protected.
Yeah, I believe it was one first-round pick from the Raptors.
But I believe it was a protected pick. And the report said that it was heavily protected, but the Raptors ultimately went in a different direction.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it just looks more and more likely that he'll be traded. I mean, I can't at this
point. Was a restricted free agent now. He's not. It's going to have to be like.
It'll be a
sign and trade. But it'll
probably be a sign and trade. The Nets will match it and then deal him to whoever throws him a bag. Probably.
You can sign and trade a match deal. I don't know if you do that. Can you?
No, you would have to match him. So, like, you have the rights to him and then you could just.
I feel like you'd have to wait to steal him then, wouldn't you?
No, I don't believe so. I believe, like, I mean, sign and trades still work the same. Like, even though he's restricted, like, you just have to match that contract and then you could deal him. Same scenario. I don't believe the restricted tag really matters.
You might be right. I'm not too sure.
I'm also not too sure. On. Yeah, right. let's kind of just go through, like, a full game recap. I mean, I know we talked about, like, spurts of it. Obviously, first quarter, the Knicks came out. They put up 38. They just weren't missing. I think they started the game 7 of 7 from three, and literally everything they were throwing up was going in. The Nets, on the other hand, their offensive game plan in the beginning was atrocious. It was run screens for Curry and Mills, and the Knicks were just playing suffocating defense on it. No one was attacking the paint, even when Robinson came out. I don't believe Cam Thomas played in the first quarter. Joe, I don't know if you can correct me on that, but I believe he did not play.
If anything, he came in late because he was in early. He was in early in the second quarter.
Yeah.
If anything, he came in late in the first.
I mean, like, the game plan was just atrocious to come out. Like, the Knicks were all over Curry or Mills coming off screens from Drummond, which is kind of what the Nets used against the Kings, so I'm not surprised that the Knicks suffocated them. And I mean, let's be honest, Curry and Patty Mills most likely aren't going by anyone to get to the basket like Cam Thomas can or whatever. And then the second quarter, they played this lineup. It had Drummond, I believe, James Johnson and Blake Griffin on the floor at once, and the Nets just played bully ball. They just kept going inside. And, I mean, it worked better than the first quarter game plan, but still, it wasn't good enough, obviously.
Second quarter lineup, it was just like – it was clunky, but it was working. It was very odd.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to score. They put up 26, so nothing crazy. But, like I said, they were just attacking the basket, a lot of post-ups, a lot of rebounds. And then third quarter and fourth, the story was defense. I mean, obviously the Knicks choking played a factor into it because that's what the Knicks do this year, apparently.
Blown three 25-point leads in February.
Yeah, that is pathetic.
That's terrible.
That is when a coach becomes on a hot seat right there, especially when you're healthy. Now, I know the Knicks didn't have RJ Barrett tonight, but for the most part, they've been healthy this month, and I don't know what's going on.
He was there for the other.
Right. Right. The Knicks have taken a big step back this year, obviously. So I love Tibbs. I think he's a good coach, but you got to wonder, is he the right coach for a team that has a lot of young players that are trying to develop? And that is a problem for a Knicks podcast and not me to answer. I mean, I don't know. What else do you guys want to talk about with this game?
Let's see what I have here. I wanted to just say Bing Bong.
Bing Bong.
That's five straight wins against the Knicks, and they're up two games on they're 103-101 against them now.
Oh man, tough scene for the team that supposedly runs New York.
It was loud tonight. I just saw the videos. There was like a lot of Nets fans there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Nets fans in Boston. Yeah.
I got a tweet from Skip Bayless following the game. Now something new and even better is happening with the Nets. Even without KD, Kyrie, and Ben, They just stormed back from 28 down to humiliate the Knicks at MSG. They're happy, relieved, re-energized. KD was right. Cam Thomas is a weapon. I still believe the Harden-less Nets will win the East. Thank you, Skip Bayless. You are the first analyst. Oh, I don't know if I want to call him an analyst. You are the first TV personality that has said the Nets will win the East. You look at all of them. They're all hating on the Nets. I'm telling you, they're coming. And we just reminded of it again that they're a different team with, like Skip Bayless said, they're re-energized. They believe again.
Jeff Van Gundy said the same thing before the game had started on ESPN. And then Woj, this is another thing I want to bring up. Yeah, on ESPN, before the game started, Woj had said, the plan is for Joe Harris to practice with the Nets right out of the All-Star break and see how the ankle responds. Then they'll decide whether he's playing through it or getting surgery. So there's our Joe Harris update. He's going to practice with the team right after the All-Star break, give it a little bit more rest. And then if his ankle isn't responding well, then he's going to get another surgery. And you'd think another ankle surgery at this point in the year rules him out for the rest of the season.
Where do you see this?
Woj had said it on ESPN.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
That's the current plan as of now, is to have him practice with the team right out of the All-Star break. And
I don't get it.
I don't understand why he didn't test it already. If they already said maybe looking for a second opinion. So did the second opinion say, no, try it again and then come back to me or get
right.
Third opinion? Like, I don't know. But the fact that it's coming from Woj and like we haven't got just a team update on injury reports or anything like that, like it's frustrating. But hopefully Joe does not need another surgery, and the rest that he's gotten ever since like basically the first month of the season helped out the ankle after he got his surgery, and he could join the Nets again after the All-Star break.
Yeah. It's a little unfortunate. I'm a little murky in that situation, but we did get a good update on the Kyrie situation today. Did you guys see all those tweets?
Oh, I listened to some clips of Eric Adams. He said he thinks the vaccine is unfair. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. He said unfair how away players are, and he mentioned entertainers can come in and perform, but players or entertainers in New York City cannot.
Yeah, that's that. He said that he's struggling with the decision because he doesn't want to like just lift it, because at the end of the day, he cares about the safety of the city, but he's like, he knows it's unfair and he's struggling with it. He's struggling with that decision.
Right. Buffalo just lifted all vaccine mandates.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a quote. I want to find it one second of what he said. It was kind of funny, actually. He was joking around. Oh, when he said, I think the rule is unfair. Whatever, he then said, I'm not sure if a Boston fan created this rule. I don't know.
Yeah, and De Blasio, open Red Sox fan.
Isn't De Blasio a Knicks fan, though?
Who?
No, I don't think so.
De Blasio, are you sure?
But he was openly a Red Sox fan. I know that.
I know he's a Red Sox fan, but...
Smart guy.
But the tea leaves today dropped. I think it's all leading to like this mandate being reversed, like all the cities reversing it. Adams literally said, quote unquote, how would the optics look? He didn't say anything about science. So it's like proven right now. It's like completely a PR thing. And I don't think he answers the question. Like 2 weeks ago, we asked the same question. He said, there's no chance with the way the numbers have gone down. I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't be playing. There's other unvaccinated players coming to Barclays Center. Like Justin Holiday on the Kings came in like unvaccinated against the Nets on Monday. What's the difference there? It's like, there's no difference from like a health and safety standpoint. And like Kyrie's with the team on the road, so it doesn't make any sense. So I think my guess is early March. They're talking about it crazy right now. I could see it right after they're talking about like the State of the Union address. So maybe after that, who knows though. But I think it's sooner rather than later.
It all sounds like a lot of stuff is turning in the Nets' favor right now. I don't want to jinx anything.
So let's not jinx it.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything. But there is a slight chance when we think about it right now, there is a slight chance that when we go to Philly on March 10th to play James Harden and the 76ers, we may have a chance to have Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, Joe Harris, and Kyrie Irving all in that game.
Yes. Like, sign me all the way up for that.
this is the way I'm, like, compartmentalizing in my head. Let's get through tomorrow's game against Washington. Skate free. Let's get another win. Get a three-game winning streak to the deadline. Enjoy the week off. Enjoy the All-Star weekend. Enjoy some needed lay rest. And then there's Steve Nash pretty much said, like, KD's a good chance coming back next Thursday, if not within the next few games. And then I'm thinking that the Ben Simmons stuff, I think Ben Simmons is cleared when KD's cleared. I don't think he comes first. I think they're like a package. If anything, KD a little before. But Simmons wants to play the March 10th game. I think there's a good chance, like you said, all four of those guys could be coming back. Like,
no. Well, in reality, the most murky one is Joe Harris. So, like, we could – there's a solid chance that we will have all three of our big three for that March 10th game in Philly. And, man, that would be a show. That's probably one of the most highly anticipated games of the year right now.
Yeah, unless they get a playoff series.
Well, yeah, that's what I said right now.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm just agreeing with you. I guess I'm just thinking the playoff series would be electric.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, to give you some more context on the Durant situation, I have quotes what Nash said at the media today. He said, "We'll see. I wouldn't expect him. I'm not like he's going to play right when the break ends. There's obviously a small chance, but we want to be really careful and safe with Kevin." He then said, "A setback would be tough, and when we have whatever it is, 20 or so games left, we don't want to jeopardize it or have a setback where he missed another 6 to 10 or 12 games. So I think we will be cautious with him coming out of the break. But obviously at some point he has to return, and he's closer, I would say, than he is farther from coming back." So.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we all know how the Nets are. Super cautious with everything. So frustrating, but like we've been saying all year, in the long run, it matters what happens in the playoffs. And I would say the last 10 to 15 games going into the playoffs, you want to have good momentum.
Absolutely. There's another nice quote that just came out from Cam Thomas. He says, "There's kind of a narrative out there that's trash saying that I can't pass. I could always pass. I have LaMarcus Aldridge in the mid-range. Who's not going to pass to him?" So that's a good one. This kid, man, he's so confident and, like, just so straightforward, and he really just doesn't shy away at all. I really like it.
How many of these tweets are, like, digs at Harden? Like, I just saw a Seth Curry tweet. "We're really playing a fun brand of basketball where everyone's involved and everyone's making plays."
Yeah, I saw that.
Did we talk about the report that said Harden wanted an ISO ball style of offense and Nash and Durant wanted free-flowing offense? Did we talk about that?
Bro, I don't think we talked about anything about Harden, including his media day, did we?
No.
Where he said, like, Philly was always his first choice.
Yeah.
And he said, and I quote, "But I had to go to Brooklyn." Like,
he said that.
I don't know, man.
But then Quentin Mayo pulled up a tweet from when he was traded to Brooklyn saying,
"Right.
And I really wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere else." He said, "Thank you to Houston for getting me where I wanted to be." Like,
yeah, it's like
James Harden's even, basically seemed like it was full of, like, oh, like, I got to reverse every narrative. But Ben's presser basically was just like, he was giving, like, just really good answers about his whole situation without really pointing blame at anybody. So it was just like, Harden kind of continued to act like a child, and, like, Ben took, like, a mature approach about it. That was basically my takeaways, because Ben's was at 11:30 and Harden's was at 12. So, like, we got all the quotes, like, back to back. And it was just like, all right.
Yeah, man. Like, Cam Thomas said, "When it was 16 on the shot clock, we went into the backcourt. When I saw Coach Nash tell everyone to flatten out, I knew it was one-on-one time."
I saw it happening. I'm like, I see Nash telling everybody just, like, clear out, clear out.
Yeah.
In his arms.
He said,
Cam is about to this thing.
I went to my go-to move. Glad it went in, because I was struggling tonight. This man said he was struggling tonight. I mean, what is him not struggling? Something like KD would say after he drops 40. Yeah, man, I was struggling tonight, but I'm glad the last one went in.
Maybe he's also the type to shoot like 16 of 22 and be like, yeah, some stuff wasn't falling tonight. I got to be better. Like KD really is the type to shoot 60% and drop 35 points and be like, yeah, man, I got to be better than that.
Got to be better. By the way, we all picked wins on this game, right? So nothing changed in our challenge.
We all have wins for tomorrow's game as well. So nothing's going to change.
I wonder what the Nets are going to do back to back. But they have the long break, so I would expect everyone to play.
Yeah.
What's up, Joe?
No, I was just saying, like, I would expect everybody to play, but I was going to ask you guys, now that we're going to try to get in the flow of doing one live, like, right after every game, do any of you guys want to change your picks for tomorrow?
Nah, I'm staying with a win.
Keep in mind, too.
Okay, I'm keeping mine as well.
Wizards of dog shit. Sorry.
No Dinwiddie. No, I don't know. Is Kristaps playing for them?
Let me check.
I wasn't sure. Was injured, though. On his situation.
Porzingis is out.
Oh, he's out? Okay. So, yeah. Murder. Okay.
Three game into the break. I'll take it.
Yeah. One thing I just want to add real quick is when we get out of this All-Star break and as guys start coming back, I hope Nash can cut into Patty Mills' minutes. He led the team with 38 again tonight, but, I mean, he's been struggling to shoot recently. He was 2 of 13 tonight, 2 of 9 from 3, and he's played a lot of minutes just because the Nets have been so shorthanded. And, like, credit to Patty. He will never complain about it. He is a class act guy, a great leader. Love him. Great vet. But you want his legs to be fresh come playoff time. And that it seems like he's playing close to 40 minutes every single night for, like, the last month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, knock wood. But, like, he's, like, the only one who hasn't, like, gotten, like, an injury or COVID.
Him and Blake.
I feel like him and Blake, yeah.
Yeah, him and Blake are, like, the only
ones. Lots of our team. And Cam had COVID. So, yeah, just him and Blake.
I think it really is only Patty and Blake that haven't like missed significant time due to anything other than like Blake, like being like benched for a little bit, but like, you know, like they've been available like every single night. I'm sure we rested Blake on like a back-to-back or something like that, but.
Yeah. I mean, Blake hasn't logged too heavy minutes, but he's been available. Patty's just playing a lot every single night.
He also has a 3-point contest Saturday.
Oh yeah,
true. He needs to get that win.
We could bring home another 3-point contest title to Brooklyn.
Two and three.
Yeah.
Listen to this. So this season, in 56 games played, Patty Mills is averaging 31 minutes per game. His previous career high it was in 2017 when he averaged 25.7. So he's almost a full 6 minutes higher than he's ever played.
That's wild.
And this is his 13th season in the NBA, so he's been around.
Yeah, he has been around for a while, but like for him to play as many minutes as he has this year is insane, honestly.
I agree. And like I said,
a little bit of a break.
Hopefully Nash can get it down.
So I just checked. Did Seth Curry had to have gotten an invite to the 3-point contest, right? Like, he's not in it, but he had to have. I just had to make sure because I was like, are we going to push all this Patty propaganda and not and not realize it too? But now he got invited at least. But
Yeah, no. I love Seth Curry, like I said last time, he's just a complete offensive basketball player. I think he had 6 or 7 assists again tonight. I don't have the box score in front of me anymore. Joe, you do still.
I know he had 20 points and he shot 7 for 14. But I'll check out the rest of his stats because he did have a very solid game once again. He had 6 assists tonight. 6 of 9
from 3. Yeah.
Yeah, so 6 of 9 from 3. And 6 assists, 20 points. That's 2 20-point games and 2 games with the Nets for Seth. awesome. The guy is a stud.
Yeah. Nothing else to say about that. That's good. Vibes are good.
Yeah.
Hopefully they keep it going, get some guys back, and this is the nice little neat change they need. Let's get out of the play-in tournament.
Yeah, right. No play-in tournament, Nets.
That would be quite the situation if we ended up in a play-in.
Let's probably don't draw Toronto, because I know they changed some rules, but I'm pretty sure Kyrie still can't play there. And if he gets clearance, I know they changed some stuff. I don't know if that lets him play now. I don't think it does. So I wouldn't want to play.
No, it does not. It does not. If they have a country-wide rule, you can't go into the country of Canada, I believe, if you're not vaccinated.
So let's avoid the Raptors. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a game and a half back of the Raptors right now for the 7th seed. But we could be up at the 6th and in the play, and we're only 2 games behind the Celtics right now. So
We catch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be honest. Boston's sneaky. Boston's a lot better than their record, in my opinion. And they made some great trades. Acquiring Derek White, which I think was huge for them. He's like a traditional point guard, and he is good. I don't know what they gave up for him, because I don't know the trade.
It was Jason Richardson and the Schroeder deal. No, it was Jason Richardson. Schroeder was separate.
Yeah, it was basically Justin Richardson and a protected pick or something. Or 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I said Jason.
Yeah, I was going to say, bro, Jason Richardson was from 2010.
Yeah, he was the Sixers. I remember a couple other teams as a map, I think.
I'm going to be honest. I could see Philly sliding down the standings. When I watch them get smacked, embarrassed on Bell Night, when James Harden rang the bell at home, they were down 50 points at one point. And you look at their injury report, and the only player that was out was Harden. And I don't want to continually talk about Harden. I'm just talking about the Sixers in general, because obviously they're a team in the East. But they don't have a lot of shooters anymore, giving up Seth Curry. And one thing that he needs to succeed is spacing. I mean, obviously Embiid's still amazing. Harden's still a good player. But their role players, I don't know, man. I watched Thibault play. He's a great defender. But the Celtics were leaving him wide open in the corner, and he could not make anything.
Yeah, it's they're not as deep of a team as they were before the trade. Obviously, they gave up a lot. So, but we are currently 3.5 games back of them. So, but the Celtics are 9-1 in their last 10, and the Raptors are 8-2 in their last 10, and the Nets are 2-8. So, we gotta there's definitely a solid chance we creep up the standings. It's not going to be that difficult, especially with this roster we have now.
Want to hear a crazy stat?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Cam Thomas is averaging 21.6 points per game and 48.7% shooting in his last 7 games.
That's nuts. Okay.
Cam Thomas, a young star.
They deadass let him fall to number 27 in the draft.
And let him get mentored by Kevin Durant, the greatest scorer in NBA history.
Yeah.
Oh, this league, man, this league. Anything else you guys want to talk about real quick?
I think we hit everything. I don't know about you.
Yeah, but
I think we're good. So once again, this was the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Cody, Anthony, and Joe. Thank you for tuning in. And the Brooklyn Nets run own New York City.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.